Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, or Apple Podcast, or as always, head on over to the website, AmericaOutLoud.com, and please share those articles and podcasts on social media. So much great content to see there on AmericaOutLoud.com. We have another big show tonight with candidate from Texas 15th Congressional District, Monica De La Cruz Hernandez. She came very close to winning in 2020, only lost by a mere 6,000 votes. You have to wonder what the election was looking like before all the mail-ins came. I know in my district personally, the Republican candidate had a nice lead, and then the mail-in votes came in, and all of a sudden that lead disappeared. We've seen that all over the country. But once again, tonight here on America Out Loud, Rob and I have a great candidate on for the Republican Party, and we're going to find out what is on her mind. Very excited to talk to Monica tonight, but first off, how are you doing tonight, Rob?
You know, I'm well. I was a bit distracted when you were doing your opening up. I don't know what's happening here in New York, but, and it's night. But it's the city that never sleeps. I guess when they opened up, we opened up big. So folks, you will more than likely hear some partying going on. It's not my party. I wish I was in the party, but it's on the outside. And these folks are excited to be out and about and able to live their lives as opposed to being locked inside with a mask on. I mean, definitely want to ask Monica about that, about Texas, because they're one of the few states that did not just like shut down and told people don't go outside because there's a boogeyman out there. While we've seen in other states that did it, like New York City and California, don't go outside while the governors were going outside and partying. Only in America, only in blue states do you get this. So I'm excited to have Monica on. And like you said, she, you know, nearly pulled this thing off. And we see that took place around the country in 2020. Look at President Trump. I went to bed. He had won. We wake up. Oh, there are more votes to count. We found some votes in a car. We found some votes in a truck. Oh, Granny found votes up under her bed. Where the heck are these people getting this stuff? Who's putting the votes in a truck, in a car, and up under Granny's bed? And Andrew, when you look back at the elections, this has happened consistently whenever a Republican is on the verge of winning or once they have won. The Democrats always manage to find votes in some mysterious place. Don't ask me how, don't ask me why, but they do. And they run with it. And they challenge it. But don't you dare, as a conservative Republican, challenge their wins. You better not say anything about that, because if you do, you're un-American. If you do, we've got to shut you down, because we don't want to hear what you have to say. You're crazy. You're a white supremacist because you want to keep people like Black people and Hispanics voting. Give me a break. But that's what we hear every election year. And it's time that conservatives and Republicans start to push back. We've got to push back, because if we don't, but have elections stolen from us while we sit in a corner and talk about it. You think about George Bush when he won, and Al Gore. Al Gore kept up a big stink that, no, let's look at Florida. We got to count the hanging chads and the pregnant chads and all this other stuff. It's like, at the end of the day, you still lost. But what happened in 2020 was unbelievable, because they managed to pull it off, the biggest steal that we could have ever imagined, with the media playing along with their game and big tech silencing voices. It's just unbelievable. So, you know, Monica came close to like nailing this thing, and then didn't happen. Folks, you got to wonder. It's time to wake up. It's time to mobilize. And it's time to make certain that your vote counts. It's time to volunteer, go to the polls, be poll watchers. Whatever is necessary to do legally, of course, let's do it. Because we can't have this happen again. We're too close to be yet so far. We're too close to not be able to pull this thing off, to save our country from people that care nothing about it. Without further ado, let's bring Monica on, and let's let Monica talk to us about the Texas 15th Congressional District. I also understand that where she lives is close to the border, so we want to talk about that as well. Monica, how are you?
Hi there. I am doing fantastic. Thank you for having me on this day.
Yes, glad to have you on tonight. You came so close to winning in 2020, and it didn't happen. So why are you doing it again?
That's a great question. Let me tell you, 2020 was an exciting year for our campaign. And I'd like to share with your listeners exactly where my district is, because people can imagine it in the great state of Texas. You see, my district begins on the north end in between San Antonio and Austin, and then travels straight down to the border county of Hidalgo, which includes McAllen and Edinburg, Texas. Very sadly, ground zero for illegal immigration. Now, you ask, why are you doing this again? The reason why is because the momentum, the excitement really has motivated me and encouraged me to do this again. It is really about standing up for our country and the citizens in this district. And you know what? The garbage that happened in 2020, I will not back down. And other conservatives must not back down so that we can save our country from where it is going right now.
We definitely need to save the country, and we can't back down. The way the country is going now, it's devastating. It is extremely scary. And you being there near the border, I can only imagine what you're witnessing and what you're seeing. So let's go back to 2020. When you were in the thick of it, really exciting, the momentum was there. How were the voters, what was in their mind? Can you tell us what do you think they were thinking, that we were going to pull this off?
Look, everybody thought we were going to pull it off. It was so exciting. We had hundreds of volunteers working for this campaign and working to spread the conservative message. What I'll share with you is this, is that we were a pure grassroots campaign. And you said something, Rob, earlier that really stood out to me. You said, get involved. You need to do something now. Poll watch, you know, knock on doors, make phone calls, make a donation. And that is absolutely true. You see, I didn't have the national party with me. I did not have the state party with me. And the reason why is because this district had been blue for over 100 years. The last Republican candidate had lost by 21 points. So when they looked at this district, they said, oh, there is just no way anyone is going to win as a Republican in this district. What they discounted was people's passion for this country and for standing up for what is right. So in 2020, we had in the general election only $200,000. That's it. And for a congressional campaign, that is really just dollars, cents. It's very, very little. My opponent and the DCCC spent $1.8 million to run against me. It is incredible that they outspent me so much. And we ended up swinging this district 18 points. We ended up swinging this district 18 points. We actually doubled the Republican vote in Hidalgo County. Now, this is, of course, very upsetting to the Democrats because Hidalgo County is, like I said, right on the border. 90% of the people here are bilingual. They're Spanish speakers. They're Hispanics, obviously living on the border. And when we win, because we will win in 2022, we're going to disrupt what the Democrat Party is saying about Hispanics and people living on the border, which is that we want this open border garbage and, you know, we want to defund the police, and all of that is completely against the values of this district.
That's interesting. You're on the border and you were able to double the vote. However, Democrats are telling us that Republicans would never get the votes of the Hispanic. They said the same thing about the Black vote. And look, Trump was able to double digit the Black vote compared to what previous Republicans had done because his message was resonating. And I have said before that his message resonates with Black and Latino voters. We've had other Latinos who are running for office to come on and say the exact same thing. However, the mainstream media, the liberal media, the fake news media, they won't report that because they want people to think that Latinos and Blacks don't like conservative ideas and that they view the Republican Party as a racist party, when in fact, it is the Democrats who are the party of racism. I'm not saying all of them, but the powers that be, they enjoy peddling these stories. Now, let's just be honest. On both parties, you're going to have racists. You're going to have racists in the country. That's just going to happen. But the truth of the matter is that people aren't looking at that. They're looking at the policies that the Republicans have and what they're planning to do. So I think that is very important that people know that your district is on the border. Most of the people there speak Spanish. Yet and still, you were able to double the folks that were voting for Republicans. And yeah, of course, Democrats are going to be afraid of that because they don't like that. Because they see now, wait a minute, we're losing this. So what do we need to do? We need to change the narrative. We need to put more lies in there, which it shouldn't work. But we have got to get involved. People have got to get involved. You got to go knock on the doors. You got to stand in front and say, these are the principles and the values that we believe in. This is who we are. Do you not agree, Monica?
Absolutely. Getting involved is so key. And Rob, you said something about the mail-in ballots that I would like to share. When we polled our district, we found that we were winning, and we were winning by 18%. Like I said, the Democrat Party spent $1.8 million. They were running scared. But let me tell you about those mail-in ballots. The county of Hidalgo, the Democrat commissioners, they voted to illegally send out unsolicited mail-in ballot applications to everybody in Hidalgo County. Everybody. Unsolicited. I mean, this is against our laws. It was against a Texas Supreme Court ruling, Harris County against the state of Texas. And you know what? We ended up sending those unsolicited mail-in ballot applications. And what the result of that was, you know, I ask people, I tell them, I said, you know, COVID is the year, right? There's 7,000 mail-in ballots that came in 2016. There were 7,600 mail-in ballots that came in 2018. In 2020, what percentage of increase do you think would be fair? And some people would say as high as, oh, a 25% increase, definitely. I even had a couple people say, you know what? I think a 50% increase would be, you know, would be fair. And people are scared of COVID. They're at home. Well, the result of these unsolicited mail-in ballot applications was a 240% increase in mail-in ballot applications. We had 18,000 mail-in ballot applications come in. Now, mind you, we only lost by 6,500 votes. That's it. And here we have this unprecedented percentage that just mathematically is irregular.
On election night, Monica, did it look like for a while there that you would be victorious? And then the mail-in voting obviously changed things like we've seen in so many races across the country. Was that the situation in your race there in Texas where you only lost by 3%?
We were actually neck and neck towards the end of the night. It was 49-50. And you're right, we ended up falling short 2.8%. And I will tell you, this made us the most competitive congressional race in the entire state of Texas. Our campaign was pure grassroots. So when it comes down to recipe, what I want your listeners to know is that boots on the ground, people volunteering and getting active and volunteering, dedicating their time to save their country really, really does make a difference. And it can overcome the money portion of the campaign. So I really encourage your listeners to get involved today.
Well, you know, as you said, boots on the ground, that is so important. We can't emphasize that enough. We know that money helps also, but when you put boots on the ground, people will see you and they'll say, wait a minute, let's donate to this party. And any little amount counts. because sometimes the GOP, they have their head so far up there that they can't see the prize. They don't realize that in this district, yes, it might be predominantly Democrat, because that's all they have seen, that's all they have heard. But if we can break through that blue shield and show them, we can get these voters. But if we don't try it, if we don't get out there, nothing will ever happen. And the Democrats will keep the stronghold on these communities. They haven't done anything for us. It's the same old promise. I look at the Black community. The Democrats are constantly telling them, we're going to do this for you. We're going to do that. But by God, Barack Obama was in office for 2 terms. And the promises that he made, you're still making those promises. The promises that Bill Clinton made, you're still making those promises. They're not being held accountable. And then I chastise the GOP, the Republicans, because they see this huge gap that they can walk through and say, okay, we will take this on and we will do it. That is what President Trump did. They constantly talked about, oh, the prison system is unfair. What did he do? He walked through that hole and said, we're going to make it fair. We're going to get a lot of those people out of jail that should not be there for small offenses. And what happened? He was rewarded by Blacks voting for him. Second Chance Act. He said, let's look at the communities. Let's reduce all of this crime that we say that is there. Let's also get a lot of Black and brown people off of unemployment. The unemployment rate dropped 3%. People said that it couldn't take place. It couldn't happen. He did it. And then what did they say? Oh, no, this was Barack Obama. He had this in disguise. Barack Obama had 2 terms. He did absolutely nothing. That is it. We have to speak the truth. And Republicans see this and they need to step forward and say, we have the solution. This is what we can do. Stop being afraid. Stop being afraid that the Democrats won't like you, because they never will like you. Stop being afraid that you will get negative media, because you're going to get that anyway. Walk through that door of opportunity and show Black and brown people, we are the party for you. There are a lot of votes that are out there. And Monica, you proved it yourself, being on the border and doubling the digits for individuals voting red. That's phenomenal. We need more of that out there.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I think that one of the things that made a difference in this district is that I'm from this community. I'm a small business owner, and I'm from the part of the district that was traditionally blue. Most people can't even grasp that I'm in a blue county. I'm a Hispanic female small business owner. I come from one of the poorest counties, not only in the state, but in the country. By all looks and design, the Democrats would say, poor Monica, she just can't be successful and come out of here. And here I am in having successful businesses, being able to take care of myself and my family and have a successful marriage. And you know what? I think that by me stepping out into my community, and it was scary. I'm going to tell you that when my husband and I decided to run, we really prayed about it. And we really had to take into consideration how this would affect our employees, how this would affect the sales of our businesses. And we decided that our country was more important, and the future and the legacy that we were leaving for our children and our grandchildren was more important than the now. And so we moved forward. And I think when community members started to see, wow, there's someone that looks like me, talks like me, I speak English, Spanish, Tex-Mex, people really were enthusiastic about it, to say, you know what? The Republican Party does have people of all colors, shapes, and sizes. And this tent is big enough to hold all of us. And that is in contradiction with what the Democrats want others to understand and know.
In complete contradiction of what they want to put out there. And unfortunately, people will buy into the fake narratives because they control, they being the Democrats, they control the media. They control the narrative on big tech. If it's not what big tech wants to hear, Twitter will shut you down. If it's not what Facebook wants to hear, they will shut you down. And now, Monica, tell us just a little bit about your background, because I was reading somewhere that your grandmother migrated to the U.S. as a child to flee political persecution. Your grandfather was a first American, generation American, who served in the Navy during World War II. So give us a little about that background.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. My family migrated here legally because what they wanted for us was equal opportunity, not equal results. And that's very important. My grandparents on both my mother and father's sides were very hard workers. My grandfather, as you mentioned, he served in World War II in the United States Navy. My mother raised us with love of country, and she would always tell me, Monica, you're so lucky. We're so lucky to live in this great country. You can do and be whatever you want. My mom was a single mom. She was a secretary at DHS. She was a very, very hard worker and did the best that she could do for myself and my brother. My brother served 20 years in the United States Air Force. I'm so proud of the work that he's done. And now he's a successful small business owner as well. Well, you know, I think that's where America and the opportunities that America can give to immigrants. And that's why it is so important that these people that are coming through our borders right now, it's so important that they come in the right way and the right and legal way so that they have the opportunities of the American dream. And the way that they're coming in right now, very sadly, they're being exposed to human trafficking. They're being exposed to sex trafficking. And really, truly, they will never get to have the equal opportunity that this great country has.
So within the community itself, the Hispanic community, and the whole issue with illegal immigration and folks coming here and them saying we're coming for an opportunity, but we know that there are others that come here and they do it the right way. Within the Hispanic community, do you think that they're for the illegal immigration? I saw a program not too long ago of a young 5-year-old boy from Honduras, or Nicaragua, who was left in the desert by these human traffickers because either he was moving too slow or they didn't have enough room for him. And they decided, okay, leave him there and let's move forward. This poor kid, five years old, holding a teddy bear, crying and yelling, no, 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 come back, come back, come back. No, we saw this kid. No, just imagine there are probably others that we don't see and that we don't hear. What do you think the community is saying about this that's happening?
Well, I think numbers don't lie, right? Our perceptions can always be misinterpreted, but numbers don't lie. And when you see that overwhelmingly border towns all along Texas borders overwhelmingly voted conservative and voted on the Republican side, what that tells you is that they want a secure border. They want people to come in and come in legally. You see, living on the border, we have firsthand knowledge of the cartels. We have firsthand knowledge of coyotes. We know what that is. We understand the detriment that both of those organizations, and I'll call them terrorist organizations, mean and how they take advantage of people. So I think that there are two sides to this illegal immigration. Number one, we understand how these terrorists are taking advantage of people and how they're extorting them for large, large sums of money, and they're using them for sex trafficking and human trafficking. So the compassionate part of all the people on the border do not like that. And that's where we truly say this is a humanitarian crisis by allowing people to make this treacherous weeks and weeks of travel to come to our border and be taken advantage of. That's side number one. The second part to that is many of the people that are living here on the border have an illegal or have a legal application status that's currently pending where they have waited months and years and still have not gotten legal status. We have other people here who waited the 5-10 years to become very proudly American citizens. And so they say, I've been waiting this long and I still haven't. I've put in my time. I've paid all the application fees to the United States, given them all the information that they need, and I'm still waiting. Why is it fair that these people who are coming illegally are coming? They are getting a plane ticket to anywhere in the United States and being dropped off. It's not making people happy with the Biden administration. And that's why I think when we look to 2022, we are going to see that not only did the Republican vote double in 2020, but we're going to see it double and triple in 2022.
Yeah, we've only got a couple minutes before break, but something I would definitely want to ask you about is what are your the people in your district saying about Joe Biden stopping the building of the border wall? Did the people in your district like the border wall? Did they think that it was working, at least slowing the traffickers down?
That is one of my favorite questions, because the media will lead you to believe that we have this wall, nobody likes it, everybody's upset about it. What most people don't know is that down here in my area, we call it a border levee. And that border levee that's now known as the wall was actually started by the Obama-Biden administration. When the federal money was funneled down here, that money was for dual purpose. It was a bipartisan effort to say, we want to secure our borders, but we have low-lying areas along our border that desperately need help with flooding. So we started to build a levee, now known as the wall. This levee actually protects from flooding the most poorest communities in our district. Now, that was in the Obama-Biden years. Unfortunately, they ran out of money and they did not get to complete this border levee. What happened under the Trump administration is the media stopped calling it a levee, started calling it a border wall, but the people down here still wanted it because, again, it served two purposes. In fact, one of our county commissioners and local city commissioners in the city of Mission, Texas, have gone out publicly to our local media and asked for the Biden administration to continue to build that wall. Again, we call it a border levee. Why? Because they state that if a tropical storm comes, God forbid a hurricane develops in this area, the city of Mission will become completely flooded and will cause great detriment to not only the community citizens, but businesses, and will devastate this area. And they have pleaded with our local congressman and the Biden administration to keep building that border levee. And really, it is a matter of life and death on the American side. But you won't hear that from the national media.
Yeah, well said. It seems like the southern border, the border wall was doing big things and working in the Joe Biden administration. The border has been a disaster early on, and it's only been a few months into his administration. We'll see how things play out. You're tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We will be back with more from Texas 15th Congressional District candidate Monica De La Cruz Hernandez.
AmericaOutloud.com is the alternative from the agenda-driven globalist. Here, we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. On-demand podcast or real-time talk radio with our streaming apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Because of COVID-19, The average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Andrew, I gotta say that I am really impressed with Monica De La Cruz Hernandez, her story, her background, and the fact that she came so close to pulling this off in 2020. And as we said during the first segment, folks, you got to get out there. In order to win it, you got to be in it. Boots to the ground, you got to support these candidates. Getting out there, spreading the word, anything that you can donate, every little bit counts. It's a grassroots campaign, and that's how the Democrats are able to steal elections, by putting boots on the ground and collecting any little amount of money. That's how we can do it. We can't wait for the GOP, because the GOP is looking at other candidates who are possibly rhinos, not all of them, but we need folks that share our ideas, share our core beliefs, and these are conservative beliefs. And as Monica mentioned, I mean, she's on the border, Hidalgo County, she's right there, and she sees what's happening. And if she was able to double the amount of supporters voting conservative Republicans, that's huge. So it can be done. Don't believe what the media is telling you, that Hispanics, Latinos, or Blacks don't support Republicans, because they do. They don't want you to know that. They don't want you to believe it. And just looking at the numbers, I mean, this is just phenomenal. Now, her opponent, Vicente Gonzalez Jr., he was able to squeak this thing in and won. But I mean, it begs the question, how did he do it? What are his positions on border control? What is his position on illegals coming across? What is his position on mail-in ballots? So, Monica, tell us a little bit about your opponent.
Well, those are great questions. And I will start with border security. Number one, in Hidalgo County, Edinburgh specifically, we house the largest border patrol sector in the entire nation, right here in Hidalgo County, our current congressman's district. In 2019, we had a serious influx of illegal immigration. This congressman refused to meet with Border Patrol agents. In 2020, we thought it couldn't get, or 2021, this year, we thought it couldn't get any worse, and it has. And still, he has refused to meet with Border Patrol agents. He's pulling a Kamala Harris.
So is his take on this whole border crossing that he's okay with it?
What his take is that we need to spend time and money and effort in Guatemala to stop the influx of people over here. So he's taken the Kamala position of, I'm not going to visit the Border Patrol agents. I'm not going to visit the local cities here in his district. He instead is spending his time in Guatemala. And he feels like Kamala Harris, who also has not come down to our border, that her time is better spent in building infrastructure and business in Guatemala. Can you imagine when we're having the biggest crisis right now in our United States, with people out of work, businesses out of work, and people losing their small businesses that they work so hard for, they're in Guatemala trying to create more business.
A country without borders isn't a country at all. You look at Mexico. Do you actually think that Mexico would allow me to infiltrate their border and just sit there and go, okay, I'm going to come here now and I'm going to live off the system. You guys pay me money and give me this. Heck no, they would kick me out or throw me under the jail. Why is it that we have these bleeding heart liberals that feel as if though, oh, let them all come in? Well, I'll tell you one of the reasons why they want it, because they're thinking and assuming that if we let them come in and if we give them free everything, they'll vote Democrats. But the moment we have an election and they see that that's not happening, what you bet they don't want to ground up all these people and say, send them back. Wrong choice. They're not voting the way we want them to vote. Look at Florida, has a huge population of Cubans. They know the devastation of communism. The Venezuelans, they know the devastation of socialism. Monica, let me ask you this also. Some of the things that you believe in as a candidate, some of the things that you want to happen, be it from the educational standpoint, the economy, we've already talked about the border, but just give us a little about your platform.
So my district, as I mentioned, begins on the north end in between San Antonio and Austin, Guadalupe County, all the way down to Hidalgo. The things that are most important to my district are, first, of course, border security. Everybody is concerned about that. But the second is infrastructure. And what infrastructure is on the north end is the I-35 corridor and the incredible growth that we're having there. So infrastructure, city community planning is very important. So I want to support the smaller the communities that are now almost doubling in size to help get them the grant money, federal money that is already available, working with them to make sure that their cities are well planned for even more future growth. And on the south side of my district, it is about infrastructure, including flooding. Flooding is a terrible problem in this area. And the south side of our district is also growing at an incredibly rapid rate. So infrastructure would be the second tier to my platform. The third is healthcare and, of course, education. Number one, with healthcare, we want to make sure that we reduce the price of prescription drugs. And President Trump, this is what's so interesting. President Trump lowered the insulin for diabetes. And I'm going to just talk about that drug for a moment. Why? Because we have one of the largest diabetic populations in the entire nation right here in Hidalgo. We have a large obesity problem and high blood pressure. So the insulin drug under the Trump administration was significantly lower. And we know that the prices of these drugs can be lowered. How do we know that? Because people can walk across the bridge to Mexico and buy the exact same drug at a quarter of the price. So how are we going to do that? We can start get rid of the PBMs, which is the middleman between the insurance companies and the actual pharmacist, and they negotiate rates for those drugs. We need to look at that. I know the Trump administration was tackling that, and he already did a great job with insulin. Insulin prices under the Biden administration have increased back to what they were in the Obama administration. So that's another area that we need to focus on. And of course, education. We saw not only in the state of Texas, but in many other states, that the public schools shut down because of this coronavirus. What does that mean? That means our kids were doing the virtual learning, which we learned that does not work. We have kids who are failing. We have kids who have lost interest in school because they were never physically in school. They also have mental and emotional issues that have arisen because they are not having that social interaction with children their age. So I am about school choice, because guess what? The charter schools, the private schools, they still had schooling. They had in-person instruction. And I spoke to a lot of school districts here in Hidalgo County, because in Hidalgo County, they shut down all the way. And I would say, Who are the Democrats really helping? They say they're for the Hispanic. They say they're for the poor people. They say they're for the people who cannot help themselves. Well, where are all the Hispanics going? Where are all the poor people going? They're going to public school, right? They're not going to the charter schools. They're not going to the private school education. And so when you shut down the public schools, and I have my kids in public school, I believe in a public school education, but who did it truly hurt? It truly hurt the people who could not afford to go to charter school, who could not afford to go to private school. So what did they create? They created a bigger gap between those who have and those who have not, because the people who could afford to go to charter school and could afford to go to a private school still continued the education. And again, who did it hurt? It hurt those that were low income and could not afford to go to a private school education. So I am about school choice and giving that opportunity to everybody of all economic levels. And of course, I'm pro-life as well.
Well, well said. A lot to digest there from Monica de la Cruz Hernandez. Great platform. One thing I want to talk to you about is the Democrats keep thinking that they're going to take Texas away. They've got all kinds of different ideas. The governor race is coming up here. What do you make of some of these far left candidates that we're seeing hop in the race? We see Beto O'Rourke now talking about running for governor of Texas. He lost in Senate, of course, to Ted Cruz. And now you've even got celebrities like Matthew McConaughey acting like they're going to run for governor of Texas. I mean, Texas is not California. I don't see them going along with the celebrity route. What do you make of Beto O'Rourke, Matthew McConaughey, and some of the others that are saying that they want to run for governor of Texas?
Look, Texas has solid conservative values. They love God. They're pro-life. They're pro-small business, pro-employee, pro-Second Amendment. And anything that strays away, and let's just take Bethel for example. He's already tried in multiple capacities to win as a Democrat. His message does not resonate with people on the border, does not resonate with Texans. I believe that Texans are going to continue to choose a conservative leader that puts American values and Texas values at the forefront and that believes and defends our Constitution. And that is why people are coming at such a high rate from California, from New York, and from these very liberal states. Those policies in those blue states do not work. We see it over and over and over again. And so I believe that Texas is going to hold true to its value system, which are conservative constitutional principles.
Yeah, well said. Monica, if people want to support your campaign and get involved in your district, what's the best way that they could do so?
Well, they can get involved now, of course, making a financial contribution today of even an amount as small as $5. Every dollar helps. And in addition, no matter where you live, you can still volunteer to make calls, to send out texts for our district. So I encourage your people to log on to my website at monicaforcongress.us. Click on the button that says Join Team Monica. It'll ask for your information and it'll be sent to us, and someone on my team will reach out and we'll get you to work. As I share with people when I am on these podcasts and in a political forum, I will say the time to start is now. We are in a war to gain back the House in 2022. And we cannot wait until 2022 to get involved or make the donation. We must fill our financial war chest and our volunteer war chest right now. And their help in doing so would be greatly appreciated. And again, you can find me on any social media as well at Monica for Congress.
Thank you so much to our guest, Monica Dela Cruz Hernandez, for joining us today. We really appreciate you taking out the time and joining us tonight on After Dark with Robin Andrew. And please, if you liked what she had to say, go to Monica Dela Cruz Hernandez, Google her, find out her social media info, and she just told you her website and everything. Thank you so much to Monica for joining us tonight. We wish her the best of luck. And Rob, we see this with candidates all across the country. We've got a lot of bright, young, enthusiastic candidates in the Republican Party. And Monica's just added to the list. Really looking forward to seeing if we can get some of these candidates elected in 2022.
I agree, Andrew. Monica is definitely a bright and up-and-coming candidate, and we should all keep our eyes on her. But I can't emphasize enough that people have got to get out there, boost to the ground, and start supporting these candidates. I wish the GOP would look out there and say, hey, here's a candidate. Let's see how far they can go. Let's groom them so that we could take them to the next level. But the GOP doesn't seem to have the appetite for that. And we have heard that from the different candidates who have come on. I mean, look how close she came to winning that race. If the GOP were to just put a little time and more effort behind her, she could knock this thing out of the ballpark, and so could so many other candidates that are running. But they focus on the wrong thing. They look at the area and they say, oh, it's too blue, we're not going to do anything. It's just the exact opposite of what the Democrats do. They will see that it's red, and they're like, I don't care, we're going in anyhow, and we're going to get those votes. Now, again, they might, you know, be stealing the votes, but they do go in. They take the effort. You look at Texas, look at Beto O'Rourke. I mean, in my opinion, he doesn't have a chance to win. But what does he do? He keeps trying. He keeps going back, getting name recognition, people being made aware as to who he is. And they're probably looking at him from a personality standpoint, or as the Democrats always do, the way he looks. But yet still, he keeps his name out there. And when you do it, and when it's time to vote, if you see that name, you're going to press the lever and say, hey, let me just vote for this guy because I remember his name. So again, we've got to get out there and we've got to support these candidates. Look at Marjorie Taylor Greene. You might not like some of the things she says. She is out there and her name is out there consistently. And she fights for us. She calls them out. She says we should fire Dr. Fraud. But she said we need to impeach Joe Biden. Some people said, oh, that's a bit too early. Let's just wait. Maybe it was too early. But yet still, she put her voice behind what she was saying. She said she was going to do it, and she did it. That's not to say that it was going to happen, but she kept it out there. She's taking it from the Democrats' playbook, which is what we need to do. You've got to show the folks, hey, I am a fighter. These are the things that I believe in, and we could make it happen, as opposed to sitting on the sidelines and waiting for the next election, which is what a lot of them do. They want to play it safe. Look at Mitch McConnell. He should have long since been out. Republicans should have been talking to him saying, Mitch, maybe we should run another candidate. Why don't you run another candidate?
I want Mitch McConnell replaced, but I don't want Mitch McConnell to handpick his replacement. That's for sure, because Mitch McConnell has been an absolute disaster as the lead of the Republican Party. And he's definitely walking representation of why we need term limits, because Mitch McConnell has not represented the America First agenda, or what a lot of Republicans have been saying for years, maybe even decades. He's long past his expiration date as far as serving in office, and I would like to see him go, and I hope that he is not the one who chooses his replacement, because anyone who Mitch McConnell chooses is not someone that I would trust.
You know, you got a good point there. I never thought about that. You know, he could be replacing someone who could have his loyalties to him. And we don't need that. Now, when Trump was in office, we went backwards and forward as to what Mitch McConnell was doing, what he wasn't doing. Now, I will give him accolades for filling the seats of a lot of federal judges. There were some that didn't take place. But then when it really counted for him to stand behind the president, he wavered. And he said some things that, in my opinion, he could have kept to himself. You don't have to say, well, he did this wrong and he caused the insurrection. All you had to do was keep your mouth shut, because you knew that the opposition, the Democrats, wanted you to say that. So now they can take that clip and run it into all of their campaigns. Mitch, You should know by now, you a politician, a seasoned politician, as to when to talk, when not to talk. But, oh, his feelings were hurt. Dude, suck it up. It's politics. But you don't give your opponents ammunition. That was just a bad move. And on any Republican that did that, that was a bad move because you didn't have to say anything. Look at the Democrats now. What are they saying about Andrew Cuomo? A guy who killed, is a murderer, 15,000 people. He has the blood of 15,000 people on his hand. And the meanwhile, he's going out getting book deals. What are the Democrats saying about it? What did Joe Biden? Joe Biden hasn't said anything to come out against Andrew Cuomo. Why hasn't he? You would think that he would, Andrew, since the Democrats were looking at replacing Joe Biden, putting Andrew Cuomo in his place, but they haven't said anything. Gretchen Whitmer, she apparently has done the same thing that Cuomo has done, killed a lot of people. But Democrats aren't saying anything. But the moment a Republican does something that the Democrats don't like, the Republicans are the first to denounce it. Not having all the facts, they're the first. Why aren't Republicans pushing back on this entire whole insurrection lie? Not one person arrested was charged with insurrection. But yet and still, you'll have Republicans coming out, well, that insurrection on January 6th, it's like, are you stupid or dumb? Or just both? Because neither adjective is good. It's like, wake the heck up, Dr. Fraud. We're now learning that he was in cahoots with Facebook to craft the messages that were to go out there. Now, I had said in the first segment that these so-called private companies, Facebook is a public company, are getting all of this like protection under Section 230 that they don't deserve. And when I hear people say, well, it's a private, okay, you can say private, but they're getting the protection of a public utility company. Twitter should have already been called to task. Republican governors should follow the footsteps of DeSantis and say, we're going to create a law and we're going to let people sue you because they have harmed a lot of people's ability to make money because they make money on those platforms. Think about it. And then Twitter and Facebook are going to kick them off. YouTube, they're going to kick them off. You just can't arbitrarily decide, oh, I don't like you, so we're going to kick you off because of what you're saying. And now what is Facebook doing? Well, you know, the information about COVID-19, that it might have started, originated in a lab, we're going to let that come out. Well, you should have never censored that because you're not a publisher. And Republicans should be jumping all over that. Even if they don't have the power to have hearings, they should be talking about that nonstop so that it will resonate in people's minds because people have short-term memories. I mean, Andrew, just think about it. Facebook shut down any conversation that this virus might have originated in a lab. And now that we know that it probably did, they're not going to censor it anymore. What the heck is happening? Did they do it just to protect Dr. Fraud? Did they do it just to counter President Trump? Or did they do it because China wanted them to do it? Is Twitter shutting down? Exactly, bingo. Is Twitter doing the same thing because of China? Because China has a huge market that we want to break into. Are we being sold out for the communist China's market? Folks, you're going to start waking up. And again, Republicans have got to wake up also, because if they were to keep this out there, okay, let's say that the CNN and MSNBC, New York Times and Washington Post won't talk about it, but you keep it out there talking about it nonstop so that it will resonate with people. And then eventually they will have to cover it. Look at China. I don't want to say that they're at our doorstep. I think the door has been opened and they're getting ready to walk in because Joe Biden is asleep at the wheels.
Mm-hmm. And then this COVID-19 pandemic just makes it even worse, because as we're going trillions and trillions of dollars into debt, you know who's buying up a lot of our debt bonds is communist China. So they're in the midst of this pandemic, they're actually gaining more control of America by owning a lot of our debt. And it's going to continue because Joe Biden's still talking about borrowing trillions and trillions of dollars, which is leading to this inflation, which is the worst tax you can have on the population, because inflation affects everybody. Everybody gets taxed by inflation because everybody's paying extra for gas. Everyone's paying extra for milk. The Joe Biden administration has just been an absolute disaster so far.
A complete disaster, a colossally monumental disaster. And when you said bingo a while ago for China, it is so true. And that is a reason why Joe Biden doesn't want to speak out against them, because in his mind, if I say something negative about China, people will think that we're talking about all Asians. Well, look, why don't you educate people? educate people on what's real and what's not real. When we're talking about China, we're not talking about the Chinese people. We're not talking about our fellow American Chinese. We're talking about the communist government in China that has to be stopped. That's what we're talking about. But China knows that we're afraid to call it out because we're afraid that, oh, we'll have violence against Chinese. No, we're not talking about that. And if there are any knuckleheads that are out there that are attacking the Chinese people in America, you are stupid, you're dumb, and you're crazy. I will say it. Yes, I will call it out. Black people that are doing it, you are stupid, dumb, and ignorant, and you're being played by the Democrat Party. Yes, I said it. And it's time that someone says it. And it's time that we wake up and call it for what it is. The Chinese people in America are not causing this. They are not the root cause of this. The root cause is the Democrat Party, because they are allowing this lie to perpetrate. They are allowing China to do this. We have to wake up and call it out, Andrew. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. And once again, President Trump was right. If we had a nickel for every time that we had heard a conservative say in the past year that this Wuhan virus came from a lab in Wuhan, we would be rich. President Trump said it himself. And now here it is on the news over a year later, and Democrats and liberals are acting like they were surprised, something that we've already known for over a year.
President Trump was always right. Let's just face it. He was right all along. He was careful when he spoke it, because you think back to 2020, he was extremely careful, but he said, you know, we need to look at this. And of course, the Democrats, as always, oh, he's xenophobe. Oh, he's attacking China. Whereas China was sitting there laughing at us. Remember when Secretary of State Blinken went to Alaska, calling themselves going to school the Chinese? And what did they do? They socked him a TKO and say that the United States is the last country to tell us about how to treat people when you look at Black Lives Matter. That was it. I'm like, boom, there you go. Now, what do you say? And then Blinken is going to come back and say, oh, no, we told them this. No, you got schooled because of the fake narrative that you knuckleheads are pushing. You got Biden talking about the Ku Klux Klan and white supremacy and white nationalists. That's the biggest threat. Are you freaking serious, man? Why is this guy the president? The Ku Klux Klan, white supremacy? Well, if that's the case, we need to look at you, because you're the ones who were friends with them. Let's just be honest. And then you have all these crazy woke white liberals that are just throwing themselves under the bus saying, oh, I'm a bad person. Be proud of who you are. No one is perfect. But if you're going to try to own the sins of the past, something that you could not control, had no control over it, just fade away. Go to an island, and call it the Island of Losers, and live there from here to eternity. Because all this other stuff makes absolutely no sense, Andrew.
Yeah, it really doesn't. Now we see it being passed along to children to indoctrinate them at an early age. It's just a big tunnel that only seems to get worse. Thank you so much to our guest tonight, Monica De La Cruz Hernandez, for joining us. She is running for Congress in Texas's 15th congressional district. She almost won that race last time, so keep an eye out on her. Hopefully we'll be having her in Congress very soon. I was very impressed with her as a candidate. She's right on the money on policy. Thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out on all the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com. Who just celebrated its 5th anniversary. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, or Apple Podcast. We will see you guys next time. And remember to stand for something, or you will fall for nothing.